So the reading for today that's been suggested for this particular series, you remember the series that we're looking at is to do with the church, and today it's a truthful church in a confused world. And I've chosen some verses from Ephesians chapter 4, they're verses 14 to 32, but I've just chosen selected verses from that quite long passage. And there's just a little key phrase in there that you need to look out for, and it's this: speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. So let's read from Ephesians chapter 4. I've started from verse 14, but then we jump a little bit, I'm afraid. Where I've got the little dashes are where there are bits missed out. So this is what Paul writes to the local church in Ephesus. He could be writing to Duncan Road Church, of course. He says, "Then we will no longer be infants. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body," that's the body of the church as an illustration, "the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking." That's people who don't know the Savior, the Gentiles. "They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts." Verse 20. "How you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each one of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body." Verse 29. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." And verse 32, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." So let me bring you the sermon for today, the message as we normally have it, from God's word. A truthful church in a confused world. And I asked myself some questions about the truth. First one was an obvious one: what is truth? What is truth? It was Pilate at the time when Jesus was being interrogated by him just before he went to the cross that asked that question: what is truth? And perhaps it's a question that every day we ask ourselves. We live in a world where truthfulness cannot be taken for granted, don't we? You get a phone call to say your bank account has been hacked and you need to transfer your money into a new account. Is it true or false? Probably it's false, and somebody is out to get you. Somebody comes to your door and says, "I need to come in and look at your meter." Is it true or is it false? One of the things we hear about today, of course, is fake news, isn't it? And you're not very sure sometimes, can you know what I'm hearing, what I'm reading, is it really true or is it slightly out? We can look at photos of celebrities and they look so perfect. But then you read sometimes, well, actually, the computer has altered things a little bit to make them look even better than normal. People ask you for money. Are they really going to use it properly? There's a report in the paper I read just the other day. It's about a lady, an Australian wellness guru, made a lot of money by claiming on social media that she had cured herself of brain cancer using nutrition and alternative therapies. She even published a recipe book called The Whole Pantry. A civil case was brought against her. She'd never had cancer at all. She was found guilty of misleading and deceptive conduct and fined. Where do we find the truth and what is it? Don't even get me started on Brexit. Okay? We live in a confused world. We all have to live in that world, and we are confused sometimes about what is truth and what is not. It's important because to know the truth, it gives us something that we can rely upon. We can trust. If people are giving us falsehoods and lies, they are trying to manipulate us, to control us, to cause us harm sometimes. And we know that millions every year are lost to scammers. It's a very topical issue, isn't it? We have political issues that are being impacted by false or fake news. It's important we know what is truth, what we can rely on, and what we can trust. So in a confused world, the second question is, where is truth to be found? Well, I'm not so much interested in the news agenda, not so much interested in the political world, but where is truth to be found? Many people, particularly philosophers and so on these days, believe there are no absolute truths. There are no absolute truths. There are no 100% guaranteed truths that we can rely and trust upon. They would say there are no truths, there are only interpretations. But of course there are absolute truths. There is in the physical world, isn't it? The world of science. We had the question, do 2 and 2 equal 4? And the answer is they do. That's true and will always be true. Water freezes at 32 degrees. That's true and will always be true wherever we are. But the Bible says there are more than scientific truths. There are moral and spiritual truths. And that these truths that are given to us come from God himself, who has revealed himself as one who is true and truthful. We had it from Jeremiah 10. The Lord is the true God. He is the real, he is the genuine that we can trust and rely upon. Of course, most of the philosophers who say there's no absolute truth reject the idea that there is a God. And by rejecting God, they reject his truth because they don't really want to hear about it. And the danger that we fall into is we don't accept there's a truth, that there's a right and a wrong way to do things, then everybody does what seems right to them. And often in the case of morality and in the case of religion, that's what happens in our world, in that confused world that we find ourselves in. Where do we find the truth? The Christian response is we don't look to philosophy, we look to God. And we find the truth in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If we want to know the truth about God and his requirements for us, we find it in the person and what the Lord Jesus has done for us. The truth that is in Jesus was in the verses we read from Ephesians. Because he is truth, he is trustworthy. And the Lord said to Pilate, along these lines of truth, he said, "For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." So if we want to know where truth is found, we open our Bibles, we read about Jesus. And so truth is to be found in Jesus, in his person and what he does. But of course, truth is to be found in the Bible, which we believe here to be God's word. If God is a God of truth, and he is, then his word is true. And so we come to the Bible to find the truth about spiritual things, about moral things. And Jesus said to us in confirmation in John 17, "Your word is truth." So if we're looking to find the truth, don't go to philosophy. Go to see what Jesus is saying and go to look at what the Bible has to say to us. What is truth? It's confusing to find sometimes. But we can find it in Jesus, who is the truth, and we can find it in God's word, which is true. But what should a truthful church be speaking about? What should a truthful church be speaking about? I'm going to suggest there are three things. The first thing is we should be speaking about spiritual truth. We might say religious truth. And what might that include? Well, Romans 1:25 talks about the truth of God. The truth of God. So what we would expect a spiritual church, a truthful church to do, and I trust that we do this, is that we are speaking spiritual truth, the truth of God. I'm not going to through all the list of things we could talk about and speak about, but we could talk about that he is eternal, he is all-powerful, he is all-knowing, that he is in a Trinity relationship, that he is the creator, that he is holy, good, and gracious, and compassionate. We would teach that he will judge sin. But he's made a way of escape for us through the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus. And above all, we would speak and say that God is love. So we must speak spiritual truth. We must speak moral truth. It's God, this God of truth, that has laid down the principles of what's right and what's wrong. The truth of what's right is a sort of character attributes that we should have. The right behavior that we should have, covering all areas of our life. It's in our family, in our marriage, in church life, at work, as citizens, as parents, as children. All the topical issues that we have to face today, like same-sex relationships, the role of women, gender issues, these are all moral issues. And to know what the truth is, to know what God says is right or wrong, we look up our Bibles and we seek to interpret them in accordance with what God says. And increasingly we know as Christians that the sort of moral truth that we believe is right, what the Bible teaches, is at odds with what society says is okay. And we're in that tension, aren't we, where we want to preach something, but society says you can ignore that, it doesn't really count. A truthful church won't necessarily major on the issues of controversy, but it will hold to biblical principles about them. The Bible says that we live in a crooked and perverse generation. And sometimes we do need to call this out. Sometimes we do need to speak out and say, this is what the Bible says about this. But we need to be careful that we don't just preach the negative, but we preach the positive as well. And in the Bible passage we read together, we had this, didn't we? There were negative things that were wrong. There were positive things we should be doing. There were things to get rid of. Our old self, put off falsehood, stop stealing was in our passage that I didn't put on the board. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and malice. The positive was put on your new self. Be kind, compassionate, forgiven, and loving. So a truthful church will be speaking out about spiritual truth, about moral truth, and about the practice of truthfulness. That we should practice what we preach if we say we are preaching the truth. In the third letter to John, verse 3, it says, he writes, your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. And that should be what characterizes a truthful church. Faithfulness to the truth, walking in the truth. There's a verse in 1 Timothy 3:9 that talks about holding the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. And our faithfulness to the truth of God's revelation, the truth of Jesus, the truth of salvation, the truth of judgment, all these truths, deep things though they are, difficult to understand at times, we are to hold on to. Don't get sidetracked, I think John is saying, by wrong doctrine. And I would just warn you against going on the internet so much and looking about spiritual things and religious things. There's a lot of rubbish out there. Don't get sidetracked. Stick to the deep truths of the faith that we have received. Then we're asked to walk in the truth. Live lives that respect and seek to obey God's instructions on a day-to-day basis. not just when we're in church, as in our Bible reading, we should be different from those who don't know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We should be different in our character, in our lifestyle, in our behavior, in our speech, in our attitudes. And we had that little phrase, speak truthfully to your neighbor. Speak truthfully to your neighbor. Live out the truth on a day-to-day basis wherever you are. Part of living out the truth is not being a hypocrite. You know what a hypocrite? I think it comes from the old Greek plays where the character wore a mask. The mask hid what he really was underneath. And it's very easy for us to live a lie, to belong to church wearing a mask of being a religious and good person, but in our hearts we may be far from God and the relationship is strained. We shouldn't allow that to creep into our lives and experience. It's a sort of lie, isn't it? But we are to hold and walk in the truth. We're to be people of integrity and honesty. What's the way we should speak the truth? We've got truth to speak about moral things. We've got truth to speak about spiritual and religious things. We've got truth to practice. What's the way we should speak the truth? Well, we had it. Speaking the truth in love. I think perhaps the apostle is thinking of a situation where there's somebody in the church and perhaps that person's not living up to the standard of behavior that's expected of them. They're not walking in the truth, as it were. Should you keep quiet? Should you say something? Do you go in with all guns blazing and say, well, you shouldn't be doing that, you shouldn't be doing that? Should you tear them off a strip? I think Paul is saying here, in that situation where you have to speak the truth, and it's right, we just don't let things go on and on for an individual that isn't right and in accordance with their testimony. We should point out their failings, which is speaking the truth, but in a loving way. We're careful about the tone we might use. We're careful about the words we might use. After all, in verse 29, it said about not letting unwholesome words come out of your lips, because we want in our conversations to build others up, it says. Not knock them down or knock them back. There's two dangers about the truth in a church. Some, I suppose, are a bit like what one of my books called a cactus Christian. A cactus Christian. You know what a cactus is? You don't want to get close to them, do you? Yes, that sort of Christian is very keen to hold out for the truth. They're very keen to correct people and point out where they're going wrong and the sinful ways they're leading and so on. But if we're not careful, the cactus Christian comes across as judgmental and critical. You sometimes feel they're never happier than when they're pointing out what they don't agree with. They're as prickly as a cactus, full of good points, but difficult to be around. On the other hand, the danger is that we become a candy floss Christian, all fluffy and nice. We avoid upsetting people with the truth. We'd rather we all just got along, and so we should be turning blind eyes to people who aren't living and walking in the truth. If we're not careful, our sermons become very nice, but not very truthful and not very challenging. There's too much toleration for the sake of peace. What we need to aim for is a balance between the two. And as always, Jesus is our pattern in these things. He never avoided the truth or calling people out when they were doing wrong. Just think of the conversations and ways in which Jesus and the Pharisees were sparring all the time, and Jesus called them out, didn't he? He was very clear about what they were doing that was wrong and not in accordance with God's word. But he spoke about it in the right sort of way. He, of course, had the advantage in that it's often said he knew what was in their hearts. We cannot do that. So when we are speaking to individuals, we need to be careful that we don't make assumptions that are not true. We're to speak the truth, and that sometimes means speaking to people about their way of life or something like that, or their doctrine, but we do it in the right way. We do it in love with the aim of turning them back into the right way. Within the church, we shouldn't speak like infants. First section of the reading I had was, you're no longer infants. Infants don't control what they say, do they? They just sort of spurt it all out. And so it goes on and on and on. We're not to be like infants. We're to keep our speech under control. In fact, I went on to say that we speak the truth in love as we grow up into him. We ought to be grown up. We're not stuck like Boaz at 4 years old. Okay? We're to be mature as Christians. And that means we're careful about how we speak to one another. We try to speak positively as much as possible. We try to build people up rather than knock them down. We speak in a compassionate and loving way, recognizing that we're all sinners saved by grace, and none of us have special favors. The illustration was used of the local church being like a body. And the stress wasn't so much on what the apostle speaks other ways about, you know, we've got an arm, and you need an arm and a body, and you need an eye, and you can't say, well, I'll get by without the eye, or I'll get by without my arms, or I'll get by without my legs. Every part has got its own part to play, and it's important. But in this little section, did you notice in the passage we read, it's about ligaments and muscles. All right. What do the ligaments do? And the muscles, they support. They keep everything working smoothly and nicely together. And so when we're speaking the truth in love, it should be with the aim of supporting one another and building up the church. If you sense a desire to correct someone, perhaps outside of the church, your neighbor, a friend, a relative, here's some questions you should ask ourselves. The thing I think is wrong, is it really what God's word says is wrong? Or is it just my tradition or my opinion? Second question you might ask yourself is it my responsibility? Within the church, I would suggest that sometimes the elders' responsibility to speak to individuals about these issues. Am I approaching this with the right motive? Am I being overcritical or judgmental? The Lord Jesus spoke about the beam and the mote, didn't he? Taking the sort of small slither out of someone's eye when you've got a great big beam sticking out of your own. And can we approach them with constructive suggestions so that we're part of the solution, not part of the problem? Let me be clear. There is to be correction within the local church, but it has to be done in the right way. What can we expect if we're a truthful church? Can we expect loads of people to come in and hear the truth? We pray to God that that might be so. But Jesus said, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. We will be challenging people if we are speaking as a truthful church about their way of life and about their relationship with God. But, we're called as a church to be a truthful church, to be witnesses, to stand up, to stand out in a world that is confused and say, here is the truth. We have the truth. It's in Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We have it in God's word, which is the truth for us and in which we find God's word. We are to be witnesses. We're called to point to Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what we do in this church. We will seek to say that there's no real life unless we come to know Jesus as our Lord and our Savior and we become one of his followers. There's a difference between ordinary people and Christians, and the difference is we've come to trust in the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit is living within us, and as a result of putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, we can know what it is to be saved. safe from God's judgment on the wrong things and sinful things we've done in our lives. We can know what it is to have a new relationship with God. In Ephesians, it talked about being separated from the life of God. But when we come to trust in the Savior through faith, then we enter into a new relationship. We're no longer separated. We're part of the life of God. We're part of God's family. We're a child of God. And all the blessings that he has promised for children of his, in his family become ours. And above all, we have that wonderful promise of a future where we go to heaven to be with Jesus. We point to Jesus. We give them the invitation to come. But God has given us a free will to choose for ourselves. I trust that everyone here has seen what it is to be pointed to Jesus. They've come to recognize that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And as he went on to say, nobody comes to God the Father except through him. That's the truth. Forget about the other religions. This is what Jesus said. We're called to be witnesses to the truth, to speak it in love. We're called to point to Jesus. And we're called to be a community who practice truthfulness and integrity. And I trust that's what we are. And as we think about these things, we can just think about our own lives. Are we living up to the truth that we say we believe? Are we walking in that truth day by day and showing that we are a person of integrity and honesty to others? May God help us to see what it means to be a truthful church in a confused world. We're going to sing a song in closing. It's number 709. 709. We point the way to Jesus, and this says, to him we come, Jesus Christ our Lord, God's own living word, his dear Son. In him there is no east and west, in him all nations shall be blessed, to all he offers peace and rest, loving Lord. He is at the center of that truth that we seek to speak about. We hear the music, and then we'll stand to sing this hymn together. Stand, shall we? Thank you. Please be seated. Come to the close of our service. We're going to close with our prayer. Then we're going to have the opportunity for some tea and coffee and a biscuit just to keep you going. And then later, as we say, we'll set up all the tables and we'll sit down for our lunch, which has been very kindly and lovingly prepared by Penny and others. So thank you very much for that. So let's bow our heads in prayer, and then our service will be over. Heavenly Father, as we've been saying, we live in a confused world where we're never quite sure sometimes what is the truth. But we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. You have revealed yourself in your word. We can look to the Bible and we can find the truth that you would have us to follow. Help us to be those who are faithful to the truth and to walk in the truth, we pray. We pray as we speak the truth week by week here in this church from your word that will have a great impact on this community in which we live. We ask that you will draw others into this place where they can hear and believe the truth also. We ask that you will bless those who are bringing this truth in other places. We pray for missionaries who have gone abroad into other cultures and societies, into the place where there is spiritual darkness, that they might bring the light of Christ. And we ask that you bless them in the truth and the word that they are preaching, even today, we pray. We want to ask now that you be with us. Help us to think about the things we've been saying. Help us not to be hypocritical in our lives, we pray. Help us not to be ones who move towards saying lies because it's the easy way out. Help us to be those who are known as truthful, to be known as people of honesty and integrity, we pray. And in doing this, may we be good ambassadors of the Lord Jesus. We praise you and thank you for his example. May we follow it, we pray. Help us to control what we say. Help us to speak the truth in love. Help us not to tell falsehoods to others, but help us in the words that we say, may they be wholesome, building others up and being a blessing to them. So help us to put these things into practice, we pray. Bless us as we go from here. May you be with us. May know your presence with us. May you know your help and your support and your comfort day by day. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.